In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of
the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
There were two processions in this reading that we had from the Gospel according to St. Luke. One of them was Jesus and the apostles proceeding from the desert into the city of Nain. They had come across the land and they were entering through the gate into the beautiful city of Nain. And they met a procession coming in the other direction. And the other procession was a funeral procession. And at the head of that procession was a young man who had died being carried in a funeral bier, the only son of a woman. The head of the procession of the apostles, of course, was Jesus Christ himself. And so we have a confrontation between death and life. In a very gentle and domestic sort of setting, the kind of situation that is easy for all of us to relate to. God has created a wonderful world, a beautiful world for us to live in. And he has given us one another and all of the wonders of the world. And we are able to have lives of great happiness, great joy. Life can be very wonderful. But there is sin and suffering and death in this world. And we become involved in it. We miss the mark. And we become involved in the sin and the suffering and the death that is in the world. And there is really only one escape from the influence of death in our lives, and that is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God himself. Grief comes to all of us. Grief in one form or another. And in every case, the grief that we experience has similar qualities. The psychologists have ranked the levels of impact of the different kinds of loss that we can have. And they say that if we build up to a certain point, almost anyone will have great difficulty in dealing with that loss. This woman has lost her only son. And in this society, and still inwardly for all of us, to lose this last member of her family and the next generation, her son, the one that she depended on for strength and to care for her. She is really losing her whole way of life. She's not just losing another person who is close to her, someone that she feels affectionate for, although certainly she does that. Her whole way of life is gone. She is leaving the city. The city where all of the daily lives of all of the people that she knows take place. And she is going out to where her husband is already buried, to bury her son next to him. And when she returns into the city, even though there will be that crowd that is with her, she will be alone. There will be no one for her. And Jesus sees all of this immediately, as soon as he sees the procession. And he knows that he is confronted directly by the enemy, death itself. And he takes compassion on this woman. And he raises her son from the dead. Restores him to her. Restores her way of life to her. Enables her to return into the city and to continue to live the life of happiness with her son that she had taken from her. Hopefully, none of us will have the suffering of a similar loss to that of the widow of Nain. Her loss, after all, was not just of her son on that day, but her husband beforehand. We can experience in our lives the loss of loved ones, though, members of the extended family, eventually our parents, sometimes our brothers and our sisters, sometimes our wife or our husband. And in these days, in these very difficult spiritual days, as often as not, many of us experience the loss of a husband or a wife, not just to physical death, but to a spiritual death. The loss of a husband or a wife to divorce. The influence of death has taken its toll. It's the same thing. When someone dies, or when there is that kind of division. Even those of us who don't experience, at least so far, that kind of loss of a husband or a wife, we have children and they grow and they leave home. We have nurtured them, we have cared for them, and they go out into the world. Experience that shock that we perhaps once experienced ourselves when we were young. And we see them suffer and we suffer for them. And there is little that we can do. And that too is grief. Grief comes to us in this world. The loss of friends, leaving a place and having to move for some practical reason from a place that we have loved, from a place that we have poured our lives into, and then we have to leave. If we lose our means of employment, that too is a loss of a way of life, loss of life sustenance. If we lose the way of life that we had had before, when all of our children were young and around us, or when those members of the family that we've lost now were all together at the table, that way of life is gone. Death takes it away. In each one of these cases, there is the loss of a way of life. Sometimes in the night, years after the loss of someone or some way of life that we have had, we experience the pang of grief and tears and suffering. So on the one hand, we have a great deal of joy and happiness in our lives, but on the other hand, also there is this coming of grief. And we're not very good at dealing with grief in our society. There are drugs that we can take so that we don't feel anything the way we ought to feel. Or sometimes we're told, why don't you go and find something to want, something to desire? What foolish advice, and yet we hear it. We don't deal very well with grief in our society. Father Anthony Conyaris has pointed out something curious and interesting that applies to virtually every form of grief that we've mentioned and every loss that we've mentioned. And that is this fact, that grief is almost inevitably accompanied by guilt. By guilt. Why would that be? Thinking back to the job that we had, or the children that we had when they were at home, or the wife or the husband, or whatever it is that we've lost, the place that we've been that we love. We demand perfection of ourselves in memory, in retrospect, thinking back. We think, I could have said this. I ought not to have said that. I could have done this. I ought not to have done that. And things might be different. And after the fact, we demand perfection of ourselves. And we have guilt in our grief due to our loss. And it's a trap. We are being tempted by the enemy of God. We are being tempted by the enemy of our own life. Because we could never have been perfect. Even if we had done all the things that we can remember, that we can think of, that we ought to have done, that we ought to have said, still we would not have been perfect. Beating ourselves up because we didn't do all of those things, we're missing something. The one regret that we ought to have is a regret that might still move us to repentance. Because the thing that we ought to have done, that we did not do, is almost always the same. We did not live in synergy with God. Instead, we bound ourselves to that place that we loved. Or we formed a kind of enclosed, safe place with the family that is only going to be as it is for a short time, and then time will pass, and we will have that loss and that grief. How ought it have been? What ought we to have done that we didn't do? We ought to have lived in synergy, in cooperation with God. Instead of making a life for ourselves with others, without that struggle, in every case, for the synergy of oneness with God. Remember Jesus confronting the enemy at the gate. And the enemy is always the same enemy. It is always the presence of death in this world in some form or another. And those two processions that meet one another are always going on. We are always in one procession or another. We are always leaving the heart of life and going out to where there is no life. By loving the world first. By loving anyone or anything greater than God. Because we need God's love in order to love others as we ought to love them. Not in a selfish way, but in a way that brings us both closer to God. Without that synergy with God, every loss will bring regret. But with synergy with God, time passes, things change, and yet one thing remains the same. We are united to all of those that we love through our oneness with God. And nothing can change that. As soon as we meet them, as soon as we recall them, instead of recalling them with regret, we can recall them with the warmth of knowing that we remain at one with them. That the life that we have had in the past is a life that is eternal because it was eternal then when we were living it. And if we have anything to regret, it's that we haven't lived in the past in that kind of way. We hadn't begun to live an eternal life with those that we love. That we hadn't begun to live an eternal life in synergy with God in that place that we love. So that in some way it's always part of our oneness with God. And we can never lose anything that's been brought together with God in that kind of way. Jesus comes and he gives a life back to this woman that she didn't have. And that is exactly what he is there to do for us as well. And so in experiencing or remembering any one of those losses, experiencing that grief again, and experiencing that pang of guilt, let that guilt at least serve the purpose of bringing us to repentance so that we can begin living now the procession of life that follows Christ himself into the city. Jesus and the apostles are going into the city. They are going to be amongst all of those people who live there, living their lives. And so it is for us that we can take this union with God and the struggle, the effort to live in synergy with God out into the midst of our lives and bind those who love us and whom we love to ourselves at one with our struggle to maintain harmony with God throughout the whole of that life as we live it. And one thing that we can be certain of is that any of those unholy things that tempt us in our lives and may work to bring our relationships with others into a place where they ought not to be, any of those things of evil that we ought not to do, none of them, not one of them can be done in synergy with God. We may struggle our whole lives in order to make a better person out of ourselves. But the fact is that the only way that we can do that in the way that we were created to do it is by uniting ourselves to Christ and living in synergy with God, struggling every day, every moment, to live in harmony and union and cooperation and synergy with Him, and repenting every moment when we turn aside. That is the way of life. That is how we proceed through our lives as human beings, being able to live lives that are filled with His divine life. And we are protected from ever having to follow behind the procession of death to bury our lives in isolation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.